This is Digital Story Podcast number 590, June 27th, 2017. Today's theme is Out of Chicago. I'm Derek Story. It was the day after summer solstice when we touched down at O'Hare Airport. You could feel the heat seeping through the cracks in the covered walkway that connected the plane to the airport. There was no mistake. It was summer and I was in Chicago. And what transpired over the next few days is the top story of today's show. Fortunately, later that night, I was awakened by the sound of rain literally pounding against my window. And I was going, wow, okay. And I have a workshop tomorrow, and a photo walk is part of that workshop. So, you know, how's this going to shake out? So I picked up my phone and I checked the weather, and the weather report said that it was going to be beautiful the next day and that the rain was actually going to stop by about 8 o'clock in the morning. Well, the weather report was right. And by the time I had to go to my workshop, it was absolutely fantastic, and it's been fantastic here ever since. Now, that may change for next week's show, because tomorrow I get on a train and we head to Louisiana, where the weather hasn't been exactly perfect lately, but we'll cross that bridge, probably literally, when we get to it. So I'm recording this podcast in my hotel room in Chicago. On occasion, you may hear the train in the background. We're not that far from the L, and I actually kind of like it. I sort of like the rumbling of the train coming every now and then, and certainly it doesn't hurt my sleep. Now, tomorrow night, I'll hear the rumbling of the train because I'll actually be on one. And we're going to be on that train for 19 hours as we head from Chicago down to New Orleans. So that'll be a different thing altogether. But right now, I want to talk about Out of Chicago. And I thought what I would do, and I was thinking about this, I thought what I'd do is talk about some of my favorite moments over this conference, and then talk about some of my embarrassing moments during the last few days. I've had plenty of each. And I don't know, you know, sometimes these things go in streaks, right? Where you go, why did I say that? Or why did I do that? And then the next day, you're going, why did I say that? So I've got a little bit of each. So let's take a look. Let's talk about Out of Chicago. It's a fantastic photography conference right here where I'm sitting, not in this room, but in this area. I can actually walk to work in about 5 minutes, which I really love. And it is a street photography conference, at least at its heart. And it started 4 years ago, I believe. And this is my second year here teaching, and I absolutely love it. I love the participants, I love the faculty, the organizers. It's just a terrific event that has a really good vibe. So what are some of the things that stood out over the last few days? Well, let me see. Let's start with a little backroom. I don't want to call it gossip because it's not gossip, but you know, one of the cool things about being a speaker is you hang out in the speaker's room and there are other speakers there and you guys get to catch up. Sometimes we only see each other at conferences. So Valerie Jardin was there, and I was really looking forward to talking to her because she used to do a show on TWIP called Street Focus, a very good podcast. And actually, Street Focus was her first podcast, I believe, and she was doing it with Frederick Van Johnson. She left Street Focus and started her own show, which I believe is called Hit the Streets, and is doing really well. It's doing really well. She has sponsors. Her following moved over from Street Focus over to Hit the Streets. She's added new people then and, you know, really is doing fantastic. So I asked her about that process. How did the whole thing go? Was it okay, you know, with Frederick? Are you guys, you know, are you all right? Are you all right after leaving? Because I think Street Focus was the biggest show other than TWIP itself when TWIP Network was, you know, putting itself together. She told me about how, like, in the course of a week, she had to learn how to do a podcast from start to finish by herself. Because before, with Street Focus, she would record the podcast, and then she'd send it off, and the production was done, and, you know, all the publishing, all that. So she had to learn how to do that, which she did in the course of a week. In fact, she said that she hadn't even missed a beat. Her shows go up on Thursday, and she hadn't even missed a beat as she moved from one to the other. And she said that Frederick was really happy for her, and that he was happy that she was, you know, branching out. And obviously, he missed having her as part of TWIP, because I think she was one of the shows that really made TWIP Network what it was at the time. But at the same time, he was happy for her. And I was happy to hear that, because I didn't know. And I think it's always great when someone has an opportunity to spread their wings even further, and it works out for that person. And in this case, for Valerie, it has worked out beautifully. I'm thrilled for her. So, and it might be a show that, if you're not listening to already, Hit the Streets, you might want to check out. She is terrific. And I'll tell you, if anyone knows street photography, it's Valerie. And plus, she shoots with Fuji cameras. How can you go wrong, right? All right, let's do an embarrassing moment. I'm going to tell you two embarrassing moments, not at the same time here, over the course of this segment. And there are two things that I just hate it when I do this. And this first one is when I know somebody, but I don't see them often. In this case, it has been a year since I've seen this person. And she's on the staff for this conference. We're out of Chicago. And last year, she really helped me out. She did some modeling for us, even though she's not a model, but she really did a great job. And, you know, she had all the moves and everything, and people really loved her. And I called her by the wrong name. I called her by Michelle, and her name's Melinda. And so we're talking and we're walking, and I call her Michelle. And she did do the one thing that I love it when you accidentally call someone by the wrong name. She had her name tag on, by the way, but, you know, I was looking at her face, not her name tag. And she held up her name tag and just smiled at me. You know that feeling, right? You know that feeling when that happens. So, of course, I apologized profusely, and she thought it was kind of funny. She was entertained by the fact that I was so embarrassed, but I was totally embarrassed. And this is one of the things that, you know, I try really hard to remember names and do a good job with names. Those of you that have ever been to one of my workshops know that I work at this. So when I screw up, and especially with someone that I really like, I feel really bad. And that was definitely one of my embarrassing moments. A favorite moment, and this was so cool. So on Friday, I had a pre-conference workshop, and it was down and dirty street photography with analog cameras, with film. And what I decided to do was, even though I knew some participants would have their own film cameras, I knew some wouldn't. So I decided to bring everyone a film camera, a functioning film camera. Now, not a top-of-the-line film camera, and the way that these cameras came about is that through my running of the film camera shop, sometimes a camera is 85% good. In other words, everything seems to work fine on it, but for some reason the light meter is funky, or the light meter doesn't work, or it has maybe some marks on the focusing screen where someone tried to clean it and they didn't. And generally speaking, those are not cameras that I'll sell in the film camera shop. I like to sell cameras that are really clean and beautiful, and that I'm able to restore to 100%. So I do have some of these cameras that I've been collecting since I've had the shop open that work, but they're not perfect. So I thought this would be a great way to use those cameras. So I've been stashing them aside, and I brought them all in one roller. I checked them, I put a lock on it, but I checked them, and I put each camera in a Crown Royal bag, you know, one of those little drawstring cloth bags, because they're just the perfect size to hold a camera. And I was able to scrounge up enough bags. I've been saving these for years. People ask me, well, boy, you must have a lot of whiskey. And I go, no, I've been saving these bags for a long time. I just hate to throw them away because they're so cool. Because like a lot of things like that, I go, someday I'll need this. And that day came. So what I did was I pulled out all of the cameras. I had 10 cameras. in these bags so he couldn't tell what the camera was, and I put them on a table, and then each person got to come up one by one, and they could feel the camera, they could hold the bag, but they could not open the bag until they made their decision. And it was a little bit like Christmas. It was like photographer nerd Christmas kind of thing. And then once they went back to their seat and opened the bag, then you know they discovered what camera they had picked. And then I would tell them a little bit about that camera. A lot of times I would have a little information card on it, and I could tell them the quirks of the camera and the things that I liked about, and show them how it worked. And that was so fun. Then we loaded up the cameras. I also had a bag full of film, different types of film. And so they could reach in without looking and grab the film. And then they would, whatever they grabbed, that's the film they were shooting with. So then we loaded them up. We had already done a morning's worth of instruction about shooting with Sunny 16 and things like that. How to use your iPhone as a light meter. And then we went out and we hit the streets with these cameras, you know, this ragtag bunch of cameras, and we did street photography. And then we came back and we talked about how to organize these images and all that kind of stuff. And then they're promising me that when they get the film back from the lab, some of them are going to process it themselves, but when they get the film back, that they're going to send me an image, and I'm really looking forward to seeing that. But that part, you know, that moment where each of them were going up there and trying to figure out which camera they wanted without being able to see it, that was a blast. I really loved that. Embarrassing. Let's do an embarrassing moment. Friday was a very long day. That was the day that I had this workshop that ran all day. And then right from the workshop, we went to a keynote, and Art Wolf was talking. And Art is terrific, he's amazing, but he did go a little long. Then we're supposed to do a photo crawl that night, and those of us who were instructors, we each had a spot that we had to go to, and then people would come up during the photo crawl, we'd talk with them, show them some tips on how to shoot if they wanted those tips. And so we went from one to the next to the other. So starting in the morning with a workshop, through this two-hour keynote, and then right out onto the streets of Chicago. Well, at some point, a person has to eat and you know, maybe just have a short break, and there literally was no break in this. So I just made a break after the keynote. I said, I'm just gonna take 10 minutes. I'm gonna go take all the stuff that I'm carrying from the workshop over to the hotel, drop it off, get a drink of water, go to the bathroom, and then, you know, rush back and try to make it in time for everyone leaving for the photo crawl, because they were doing like a 15-minute break to do that. I drop everything off, I have a drink of water, I go to the bathroom, and I had just missed my group. So I go up to the conference organizer, his name's Chris Smith, he's a wonderful guy, and I said, hey, can you just point me in the direction so I could catch up to my group, because I had to take a break. And he goes, so then he was joking with me a little bit about it. At that point, I don't know, I wasn't in a super joking mood at that moment. I was really hungry. It was already a 7:45 or something like that. And what I really wanted to do was go to dinner. And I made a swear word at him. And and he was like, I could tell at the moment he was a little taken aback by it. But then he had this wonderful recovery, saying, well, you know, I'm open to any feedback that you have about things that we could do better later on. And so I said, thank you. And then he hooked me up with somebody and he got me out to my group. I did the photo crawl for a couple hours, and then I did finally get dinner, and I felt a lot better after that. But I was thinking afterwards, you know, I just swore at the conference organizer. That wasn't cool. That's, you know, that's not me. That wasn't something that I should do. So I was feeling kind of bad about it, and I was thinking, God, you know, Chris probably thinks I'm, you know, a wimp. So I saw him again back in the staff room, back in the speaker room, and all that the next day. Or 2 days later, actually, 2 days later, I saw him. And I said, you know, you're going to be in the podcast as one of my embarrassing stories. And he goes, oh, well, how's that? And I go, well, you know, when I said what I said, when you were teasing me after the Art Wolf keynote. And so he did the thing that I think nice people do, which is goes, what? I don't even remember that. Well, I'm sure he remembers that, but that was his way of letting me off the hook, which I appreciate totally. But in the future, I'm going to make it a point not to swear at conference organizers or anyone else who is providing work for me. So that was definitely an embarrassing moment. Fortunately, he let me off the hook on that. All right, let's do a favorite moment. Oh, favorite moment. There's a new taco joint on State Street, and it is fantastic. And everyone's saying, you've got to try this taco joint, you know, because everyone knows I love tacos. And I was going, all right. So for lunch one day, I went over there and I checked it out, and it was full. It was busy, which is usually a good sign on something like this. So I ordered 3 carne asada street tacos. And, you know, street tacos are my favorite because they're on the little tortillas, usually twin tortillas, the little ones, just the seasoned meat, and then usually a little onion and cilantro. And, you know, that's all there is to it. Just a real authentic street taco. And these were fantastic. So now knowing that there is an authentic taco joint right here in Chicago where I come to work on State Street, that was definitely a favorite moment for me. Let's do another embarrassing one. This is the other thing that I hate. And I hate it when I do this, and I actually don't like it when people do it to me. One of the guys I follow on Twitter, his name is Scott Wyden Kivowitz. He's really a nice guy. He's a terrific guy. And in fact, right before Chicago, he tweeted out and tagged me and said that, hey, we're going to be working together on the photo crawl. And I wrote back and said, yeah, it'd be great to hang out. And so I was really looking forward to talking with him and seeing him. So I get to the photo crawl, and this is after I had, you know, sworn at the conference organizer. And I get there, and Scott's already there. So he was talking with somebody else. So I just said, hey, and then I wait till he's done talking. I said, hey, Scott, it's Derek, you know, really glad to meet you. Because even though we know each other online, I was thinking that this is the first time we had met in person. And he goes, well, actually, we've met before. And whenever I hear that, we've met before, I just go, oh my God, because everything that's tied up with that is not good. And I was going, so I didn't try to bluff or do anything. I just said, really, really? When did we meet before? Because I wanted to know at this point. I'd already blown it. So at least I can find out, you know, when I screwed up. And we had met earlier, years earlier, at Photo Plus Expo. And I know it's been quite a while because I haven't been to Photo Plus Expo for a long time. That's another thing where I just go, oh, I'm so sorry. And then try to make nice talk and all that. And I'm not sure I ever really fully recovered from that one. I saw Scott a couple more times over the course of the conference. Said, hey, you know, chatted him up a bit, but I don't know. I don't know. That one I might not be able to recover from. But that is one of those things. Again, I really make it a point. I meet a lot of people over the course of what I do, and I really try to remember faces. And I'm always totally embarrassed when I don't remember someone. And if this ever happens to you, if we've ever met and then we re-meet and I don't handle it well, know that in my heart of hearts, I'm always trying. I'm not one of those guys that just doesn't pay attention or doesn't care. I just make a mistake sometimes. So Scott, if you're listening, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. So that was definitely an embarrassing moment. Okay, favorite moment. Seeing a room full of people waiting for my printing talk to begin. So whenever you get a room full of people that are there to hear about printing, and this was, I did the talk twice. The first one had a lot of people. The second one was a lot lighter. But the first time that I did it, I had a big room and I had a lot of people in it. And that just made me happy, and I had a really good talk prepared. I had written the ebook for it, and I was ready to go. They were ready to go, and I was excited about that because it gives me hope. Whenever people embrace printing, photographers embrace printing, I feel like there's this hope for photography that is just not going to be trapped on someone's iPhone or their Android device. that photography will actually be able to see its final destination, which is as a print on a piece of paper in someone's hands or on the wall or whatever. So seeing that room full of people to listen to my printing talk was definitely a highlight of the trip for me. And then my final moment or moments that I thoroughly enjoyed, and I probably had more of these moments on this trip than I've had in a while, was just having all the people come up to me who say, I listen to the podcast, I really enjoy it, I try never to miss a week, and then would talk to me about photography in the podcast, actually hang out and chat. And I had that happen over and over again. It happened on the photo crawl, it happened in the conference room, it happened in the restaurants, it happened after a speaking gig. It happened all the time. And I was just so happy that so many of you that listened to the show were also there at the conference. It just made me fill with joy. And thank you, every one of you who came up. I hope if we're ever at an event together, and if you're part of our virtual camera club, I hope you do come up and say hi if it's convenient for you, because I love talking with you, and I love talking shop, and I love talking about the podcast, because that kind of real conversation really helps me guide the show and craft the show in a direction that, you know, hopefully most of you find appealing most of the time. So thank you for everyone that came up and said, hey. So it was a conference of a lot of great moments and then a few embarrassing ones. Hopefully everyone accepts my apology on the screw-ups, and thank you everyone else. So that was out of Chicago this year, but I have another treat for you in the next segment, so don't go away quite yet. The mirrorless panel discussion. So one of the things that I did at the show, I talked about printing, I did a workshop on analog photography, we did a photo walk out to Wicker Park, we did the photo crawl, and I moderated a panel discussion on mirrorless photography. And this was terrific. I really enjoyed this. And so I had some really cool people up there, people that I really like working with or that I respect a lot. And so I had Julio up there, and Julio has been an Olympus visionary, and then he was part of the Panasonic team, and now he's branching out on his own. He's a terrific guy. He really is well-grounded. I went to one of his talks, actually, on social networking and, you know, from a photographer's point of view. He's a wonderful guy. You're going to hear him talk in a minute. And then my buddy, Mike Baining, who Mike and I teach the San Francisco Street Photography Workshop together. I've known Mike for a long time. And then Mike works a lot with Jamie McDonald, and they do Mirrorless Minutes together. And Jamie also works with Olympus. Jamie likes landscape photography. Mike is more of a street photography kind of guy. And Julio is more of a commercial photographer. So we really had a nice blend there of different types of photographers. And we were all there to talk about the state of mirrorless and what's going on with technology and photography and all that stuff. So what I have for you right now is an excerpt from our panel discussion. I start out talking, and we're talking about sensor size and all that kind of stuff. Because that's a topic that always comes up on these sort of things, the various sensor size, micro four thirds, cropped, and full sensor. And then I hand it over to Julio for a few minutes, and he talks a bit about it and makes some really good points. Then I talk a bit more, and then the next voice you're going to hear is Jamie. And Jamie's going to talk a bit, and Mike is going to chime in. So it's kind of fun, and it gives you a chance to hear the types of discussions that we have at Out of Chicago. I hope you enjoy it. So I'm going to play that right now, and then I'll come back, and we'll go to the next segment of the show. The size of a sensor comes into play in a couple ways, and I want to hear from the other two guys too. But just to review what I'm talking about, so the Olympus and Panasonic cameras use the 4/3 sensor, you know, so of the three biggies, it is in actual physical size the smallest of the three. And then there are the crop sensor cameras, and There's a variety of camera companies that use that, Fuji being one of them. And then there's a full-frame sensor, the so-called full-frame sensor, which is essentially the size of a 35 millimeter negative. Sony, of course, is the leader in that category. And so sensor comes into play both in terms of what happens optically with your lenses, the relationship of the size of the sensor to the optics. And then, interestingly enough though, when I hear, which is the area that I'm most interested in terms of the sensor, but that's not what I hear most often. Most often what I hear about is image quality, you know, and size sensor. So what's your take on all this? You've done them all.
Yeah, you know, there is a different look with each sensor size, just like there is with film. It's a different look. That's how I like to think about it. Is one better than the other? I don't think so, but there's a different look.
Mm-hmm.
Like Micro Four Thirds, the only thing that I would struggle with the smaller sensors is really in the roll-off from the bright whites into the highlights. And then anywhere in the really dark shadow areas. The thing is, though, if you expose your image right and with the tools and the camera, it makes it really easy to do that. You get a solid image pretty much every time. I shot hundreds of magazine covers with Micro Four Thirds, mainly for like Village Voice Media and my senators and rappers and all sorts of people, and never ever got pushback, except for one time, and I was with the Pen Mini. That's when I went over to the EM5, the original one.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a low light shoot and it just couldn't hold up. Mm-hmm. So when the EM5 came out, that problem was solved. Now where you will see it, or a difference, is if you're doing a lot of work in post and you want to really work your tones, you're going to get more flexibility with a larger sensor than you are with a smaller sensor. That's just how it is. And the other thing is, I always think about this, and this is just me, like every new version, I'm like, can they make those small sensors any better? And the answer is yes, there's another one. But and the thing is, anytime the smaller sensors are better, of course, the bigger sensors get better too. And there's no right or wrong answer to it. You just need to know what look you're going for.
Yeah, and Jamie, I'm going to get to you in just a second. You know, the thing about that I don't see in the discussion about sensors a lot, when I shot film all the time, you know, I either could shoot 35 millimeter or 2.25 or 4x5, right? And that was sort of a locked-in technology. I mean, the film could change. You know, you could have some 35 millimeter film. They would slow down the ISO. It'd be finer grain, yada yada. But basically, that technology was locked in. With sensors, there's the sensor, there's the lens, and then there's the technology that's in between. And that technology in between is changing all the time. On the EM5 Mark II, I saw a big jump in that technology, and that's because they have more processing power. But where I really notice it, when we really think about it, is with iPhone photography. That's where you really get to see is that sensor is small. I mean, that is a small sensor. And yet, the technology, the in-between technology, really allows you to get a lot out of that. So, That whole discussion is an interesting discussion for me. Where are you landing all this, Jamie?
So I started off digital, no film history. I started off with Olympus, so I've always been mm-hmm. on this 2x crop factor sensor.
Mm-hmm.
The developments I've seen since I started off with an E500 DSLR all the way up to now the EM1 Mark II, I mean, it's amazing. And it's like Julio said, there's always going to be a better and newer sensor that comes mm-hmm. out, but currently, with the camera shooting with now the M1 Mark II and the Pen F, I feel like shots that I would have probably, so I do nature and landscape stuff a lot, so I'll bracket shots frequently if I'm shooting in lower light, just so I can get that leeway. And I'm feeling now that with this current crop of sensors, no pun intended on crop, that I don't have to bracket shots necessarily as much. I think that there's enough dynamic range in those, where two generations ago, I would have had to bracket a shot, and I'm actually pushing single exposures, probably almost as far as they would have a bracket.
Yeah.
I think we did last night. We were at our planetarium. We were able to go with that sun.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing that I don't hear when the sensor discussion comes up, which fascinates me, is the discussion about the lenses that are in front of the sensor. Mm-hmm. We were talking on the train yesterday. about, I really like the 75 f1.8. I just feel that that is, I love that lens. That lens allows me to get a really soft background with a Micro Four Thirds sensor. But then you pointed out, you go, yeah, the background's soft, but it doesn't have any bokeh, you know? And so different lenses not only give us different capabilities of the sensor, but there are paintbrushes, and they give us a completely different quality. And it's funny how often I don't hear the discussion of lenses at the same time as the discussion of sensors. All right, that's kind of fun, isn't it? I really enjoyed the panel discussion, and we had a nice audience too, and the audience was terrific at participating. I threw a lot of questions out. I asked for their opinion and so forth, and they were really right there. And I think we all came away feeling that, you know, that time that we spent together was time well spent. I want to talk about Image Framer 4 with Lightroom right now. There's a Lightroom plugin, and I'm just going to tell you a bit about it, because this is another way for those of you that work with Lightroom to expand its capabilities using this wonderful application, Image Framer 4. With Lightroom, the plugin is really a post-processing action plugin. You know, so Lightroom has these different types of plugins. The Image Framer one is post-processing action plugin, and it will add itself to the export workflow. So after the plugin is installed, then it actually is listed in the bottom left panel, the export dialog, and you'll see it there, process with Image Framer. And it's right over there in the panel. That is if you've enabled the plugin, right? You have to enable the plugin first. Obviously, the plugin is free. You can get it from the Image Framer site, and they even have a blog post about how to use it and everything. So then once you have it, all you do is you enable it, and then you call out template that you want to use. And then during export, you know, all those Lightroom adjustments that you've already done to the image are applied, and then Image Framer is launched, and then, you know, the template is applied also. And then it's saved back into Lightroom's workflow. If you're the type of person that Lightroom is everything, it's your photo management application, it's where you do the bulk of your editing, you export out of Lightroom, and you print out of Lightroom, this could be very interesting, because this allows you then to have the capability to create things such as title slides for slideshows, your fine art greeting cards. And in my printing class, I was talking about all sorts of different types of cards, the regular 5x7 ones that are what we call the standard fine art card, postcards, square greeting cards, all this kind of stuff. Image Framer really allows you to take those, instead of just being a picture on the card, which, you know, a picture on a card still looks pretty darn good, but that you can do more with it. You can actually put frames and types and effects with the images then to make the cards really something else, something special. I think Image Framer 4 is the perfect companion to do that. So we want everyone to be able to enjoy the benefits of Image Framer. So we set up a landing page, and there's a tile on all the pages of the digital story. Just go there, click on it, look at the options that you have for Image Framer, learn more about it. If you decide to go ahead and get it, and if you're a Lightroom user, it's not a bad idea, then you get a 20% discount as long as you go to our landing page first, which all you have to do is click on the tile that we have running all the pages of the digital story. Thanks to those folks at Image Framer for sponsoring the show and letting me tell their story. I hope you click on it and check it out. Let's do a few updates here. Always have to start out by thanking our Patreon members. And this was another fun thing that happened this week. I loved it that you guys and gals did this. Not only did you talk to me about the show, but if you're a Patreon member, you let me know that and let me thank you for supporting the show. That makes me feel good being able to acknowledge you, because you know, I appreciate all of the members of our inner circle. And the Patreon members are the folks that help me keep the lights on, help me pay the server bills, help me pay the admin costs, all that kind of stuff. a big shout out to all of you. So in next week's show, I'm going to talk about the New Orleans experience, starting with a train ride, and then once we're down there working in the French Quarter too. So that'll be fun. That's next week. And then a number of you asked me about the Vanagon when we were talking. And I will report on the Vanagon. So it is sitting safely at home right now. Once I get back from New Orleans, then I'm going to get to the bottom of what's going on with that. Hopefully that one will have a happy ending. So hang in there. It'll still be a couple of weeks before we learn the fate of the Vanagon, but I promise I'll follow up on that. And finally, I want to thank the good folks at Red River Paper. They provided packets for everyone that attended my printing class with all sorts of good samples in there, greeting card samples, printed samples, all sorts of good stuff. And they provided packets to everyone that's joining me on the workshop down to New Orleans. And, you know, they helped me get out here to Chicago. And they have been terrific through this whole process. Wonderful to work with. They have a tile on all the pages of the digital story. And I was very impressed when I was talking during my printing sessions of how many people came up afterwards and said, I've been using Red River Paper for years. I love their paper. I use many of their different stocks, and I'm so glad that you're affiliated with them. And that made me feel good. Red River Paper, they have a tile on all the pages of the digital story and a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. Well, that is going to do it for me this week. Trains in the background, hotel room acoustics, all the good stuff. But you know what? I'm on the road and I record wherever I am to make sure that you have that podcast when you get up on Tuesday morning. Have a great week. Come back next week and learn about New Orleans. Upcoming shows are going to be the DJI Spark. I've been testing that drone. I flew it here in Grant Park this morning, actually. Got some great shots. It's on the road with me. We're going to cover that in an upcoming show. And, of course, the conclusion to the Vanagon saga. So lots of good stuff. Come back and see me next week. Have a great week. Until then, bye-bye now.